Pastor Greg is bringing a message out of 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first chapter and then through the passage this morning, just to give us even more context and remind us of things that Pastor Greg has already shared with us. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes as he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as the righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. And the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passions and despise authority. Pastor Greg, come and bring the word. Thank you.
Let me just comment that Debbie and I do love serving the Lord here with you. When we first started here in July of 2019, of course, no one knew what was the months ahead would be. And nobody knows how many more months that's going to be. But we're here. And God is faithful, and you are faithful, and the ministry goes on. And so we're glad to serve you. Thank you for just your words and cards and gifts of encouragement. So thanks. We love being here. We've been studying 2 Peter, theme of knowing God. Jesus said it this way in John 17:3. He said, that's what eternal life is. He says this: this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So eternal life is about knowing God. Now, not just in heaven, but here on earth too. Knowing God. Well, sometimes that can be tricky because not everything out there is the truth. So today we're going to start with a little test. See what you know. See what you know about money. If this is real or fake, which one do you think this is? This is when they say he's making big money, don't do this one. Okay, how about this? This is Monopoly money. In the game, you can buy a lot with it, but in real life, if you go to the grocery store with this, they're not going to accept it. Well, that was pretty easy. We want to talk about counterfeits today, so let me give you another test. I'll even give you a hint on how to spot a forgery. So look carefully at the $10 bills on the side there. Which one is the forgery? I've even given you some hints, so it should be pretty easy, right? Well, it's not so easy, is it? The one on the bottom is the forgery. But it's hard to tell sometimes, isn't it? According to the United States Department of the Treasury, there's about $70 million of counterfeit bills in circulation. That's a lot, but actually it's less than 0.01% of the approximately $600 billion in circulation. So don't panic. But there are some fakes out there. And when it comes to money, we need to know, right? What's true and what's not so true. Well, that's Peter's point, not about money, but about our faith. He's going to tell us, beware of counterfeits. The apostles and the prophets had told us and even written down what is true, right? We have it here. But they've passed away, obviously. And new teachers, at least in Peter's case, had shown up at the church. And he's warning the church about them. And the verses that we're going to look at really don't have any specific commands, but they're going to give some descriptions, and they're going to say, beware of counterfeits. He's going to give us some cautions. Why? Because there's false stuff out there, isn't there? So when you hear a preacher live or on TV or the internet or whatever, how do you know that what he's speaking is the truth? Or when you get something in the mail or an email or you see something on the internet, or like this week, a free sample of a newspaper showed up in our mail, the Epoch Times, and we're like, huh, what is this? And it was pretty very conservative, but we're like, so my wife and I kind of looked it up, and it's by an American company, but based in China. It's owned by a group called Fulong Gong, and it's really a Chinese Buddhist philosophy that comes forth in the newspaper. Well, we didn't notice that right off. So you have to be careful. So Peter's going to warn us on how to spot a counterfeit. First, he's going to describe these false teachers. What do they look like? How can we know? What kind of characteristics should we look out for? He's going to give us three. He's going to say, look out for their false beliefs. Here, false beliefs, he calls heresies, plural. Anything contrary to the Bible, right, is a heresy. In the companion book of 2 Peter is Jude. They talk a lot about the same kind of things, written about the same time, similar things going on. Here's what Jude says. Jude, verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So when somebody teaches a heresy, like what? That the Bible is not God's word, that, like, well, we sang Jesus is the Son of God. If they say, no, Jesus is not the Son of God, he's somebody else. Or there's many ways to heaven. Well, beware of that. Check that. Go, I don't think that's right. Let me read a little introduction from the Book of Mormon. Now, don't go home and say, Pastor preached from the Book of Mormon today. I don't think that was good. I'm not preaching. I just want you to hear what it says. This is the introduction. First sentence. The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealing with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas. That is, Jesus came here to North America a couple centuries ago. And contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. And a couple paragraphs down. How do we know this is the truth, or what is this? Those who gain this divine witness from the Holy Spirit will also come to know by the same power that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Oh, that sounds good. That Joseph Smith is his revelator. Joseph Smith was the founder of the Mormon Church. He's his revelator and prophet in these last days. And that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's the other name for Mormons, is the Lord's kingdom once again established on the earth, preparatory to the second coming of the Messiah. So believe the Book of Mormon. In fact, here, you know, you can't see it, but it says, another testament of Jesus Christ. You got to beware, right? Here he calls them destructive heresies. And they secretly bring them in. See, false teachers don't stand up and say, hey, I've got some false stuff to sell you. They're slyer than that, aren't they? No, they're saying, this is true. You got to believe this stuff. He says, no, they kind of smuggle it in. They're pretty crafty. They can be. And Jesus warned us that this is what it would be like. Matthew 7, be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Now, they may use the same vocabulary, but they have a different dictionary. That is, they may use the same kind of terms. You know, they may talk about truth or revelation or salvation, or, but they mean different things when they're using those terms. So when a member of a religious sect comes to your door and talks to you about their faith, you need to beware. Here it says, they deny the Master, the Sovereign Lord. So a great test when you're talking to somebody, ask them, what do they believe about Jesus? Not the only thing, but boy, that'll get to the heart of the matter, at least part of it, won't it? What do you believe about Jesus? So he says, beware of these false beliefs. Beware of faulty behavior. Teaching and conduct go together. Jesus warned us, by their fruit you'll recognize them. And so, for instance, for some Mormons, not all, but for some Mormons, they believe in polygamy. That is, a man can have several wives. Or they take the Church of Scientology. I like Tom Cruise as an actor, but not so much as a theologian. He's kind of upfront and been a spokesperson for this church. And he discovered the hard way that Scientology pressures you, forces you to forsake and to leave family members who aren't part of the Church of Scientology. And so it cost him his marriage. Faulty behavior. One more. Some fake benefits. They will exploit you with false words. Why? Because of their greed. They rip people off. They will exploit them for their own ends, for whatever that is, popularity or riches or a following or a name, I don't know. False words. The Greek word is plastos, where we get our word plastic. They have plastic words, like our plastic bumper. It's supposed to look like metal, but it's not. That's what their words are like. They're false. So watch out for the greed gospel. When you get something in the mail that says, if you send $20 to our ministry, God will send $200 to you. I like what one guy did. He wrote back, he says, wow, this is an amazing principle. Please send me $20 and God will send you $200. Well, he never heard back from that ministry. Be careful. Now, God wants us to know and be able to recognize them, but maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm making too much of this. I mean, how does God feel about false teachers? Peter's going to say, God feels very strongly about them, and so he's going to talk about false teachers being destroyed. He's going to give three illustrations from the past where it says, here's how God dealt with those people. What are they? Here's the first one. Nope, there we go. Fallen angels. He says the angels who fell from heaven with Satan, God kicked them out of heaven and preserved a place called hell. for them. Now, he doesn't go into details about their sin and kind of the particulars. We probably would want to know more. But that's not his point. His point is, if great and powerful angels can't escape God's judgment, how do you think mortal false teachers, even though they may be slick or whatever, how are they going to escape? You say, they're not. Then he goes back to the ancient world, the world before the flood. That story, we won't look there, but is Noah and the flood is in Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8. And there it describes the ancient world became so wicked that God wiped out the entire population, except Noah and seven others, his family. So, do unrepentant people today think they can escape God's judgment because of their large numbers, right? We're the majority. No. Peter reminds us that even if it's almost the entire human race, God's still going to judge. And he gives one more. Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? The sin of these two cities is the rejection of God's authority and the practice of homosexuality. That's pretty clear. God's judgment so clear that they got vaporized. Here's how Jude comments, Jude 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns, there were two others, gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. It's an example. It's a warning. He's going to say, false teachers God deals with very strongly. He destroys them. So whether it's the pride and rebellion of angels or the apathy and the disobedience of the people in Noah's day, or the sheer sensuality of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, I'm going to judge them. I'm going to judge them. Well, false teachers are going to be destroyed. No matter how high they are, the angels, how many they are in Noah's day, or how, even how low they are, Sodom and Gomorrah, God's going to deal with them. Well, now, his final point is going to be more on the positive side. He's going to talk, he's not only going to say God deals with false believers, but what about us true believers? Those of us who know and are trying to live the truth. He says, well, God's going to deliver us. And he gives, once again, he's going to go back to the Old Testament and give two examples. We've already touched on Noah. Right, he's contrasting sort of. He didn't spare the ancient world, but he preserved Noah with seven others. Noah and his wife. Do you know what Noah's wife's name was? It was Joan. Joan of Arc. I know, sorry, that pastor joke. Actually, we don't know her name. The Bible never tells us. We'll just call her Mrs. Noah. Noah and his wife, and then he had three sons and their wives, making eight. Well, that family, God sort of preserved two different ways. First, the obvious way of from the flood, right, from judgment. The flood waters that was meant condemnation for everybody else was deliverance for them. They were safe and secure in the ark. But God also preserved Noah before the flood. I thought that if you read the story of Noah, and the timetable bears it out, but if you first think of it, oh, it's just a little building project. He calls up Menards, and they deliver the lumber, and then he and his sons build the ark. No. Took 120 years to build the ark. It was a long time, right? They had to fell the trees and mill the lumber. It was a long, long time to do that. Well, while they're doing that, he was a herald of righteousness. That is, he preached. When the neighbors asked, "Hey, no, I couldn't notice, you got a building project in the backyard there. What are you doing, buddy?" "Well, it's going to be a big boat for when the flood comes." But he preached righteousness. And obviously the people didn't believe. Imagine Noah and his wife raising a family in a world that's so wicked, there's only 8 of them that can get into the ark. Maybe Mrs. Noah and Noah wondered, "We're all alone. We don't even have any believing friends. What?" But somehow God brought 3 believing wives for their sons, and they were all safe and secure in the ark. God preserved them. And then a guy who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot. Lot maybe not most be the most commendable person because he perhaps compromised a bit. But notice how both Noah and Lot are called righteous. Verse 7, rescued righteous. Verse 8, he was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. Lot and his family were also preserved and delivered. Now, Lot chose to live in Sodom and be exposed to that. Some folks today don't have that liberty. In the New Testament, well, even in the Old Testament, there were righteous or saved slaves who worked for unrighteous or ungodly masters. Today, there's spouses who are married to unbelievers, or children who have unbelieving parents, or those of you who work in offices or factories and exposed to things that are hard to get out of your mind and your heart. But notice verse 9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Now, some days I wish God would just take us out of those, that we wouldn't have to live in an ungodly world. And sometimes God does remove those or remove us. But let's face it, we live in an ungodly world, don't we? There are trials. There are temptation. There are ungodly, evil, not only false teachers, but other people too. But God knows how to preserve us and keep us going. And so that's a good way to end our passage for today. That the Christian life is worth living. That God does empower us. That yes, there's false teachers out there, and he wants us to beware of them. Not afraid, but beware. God's going to deal with the ungodly. Let's focus on ourselves to be godly and righteous and live the Christian life. So he says, beware of counterfeits, because not everything out there is true. Do you know how you tell the difference between what's true and what's fake? Well, the FBI and the Department of Treasury, how could they do that? There's so many counterfeits and possibilities. But you know what they study? They study the real thing. What it looks like. What it feels like. What it even smells like. So then when a fake comes along, they can spot it like that. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to know His truth and to study it and to live it and to have it run through our every area of our life so that when something false comes along, we can spot the counterfeits, the phonies. We won't fall for it because we know the truth. Well, that's our prayer, isn't it? That we would know that. So let's close. We're going to pray and then sing one final worship song. Let's pray. Well, that is our heart's desire. We confess, Lord, we need your help. We need to know what's true. We need discernment. Keep us from error. Thank you that your scripture says that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. And we know not free to just do whatever we want and live ungodly. No, we want to live a godly life, a life that pleases you, a life that is holy and righteous. So help us at each day as we live our life for you. We pray in the name of Jesus, who said that he himself was the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.